Good morning, everyone. It's good to be here. It's always good to come back here and return and be able to share in the Lord's Word with you. Today, we're going to be looking at Matthew chapter 15, verses 21 to 28. So that's going to be Matthew chapter 15, verses 21 to 28. And what we're going to do is we're going to read that particular portion of Scripture, and then we're going to pray to our Heavenly Father and ask for the Lord's help as we look into His Word, all right? So that is Matthew chapter 15, looking at verses 21 to 28. I'll give you a few moments to get there. Beginning at verse 21. Then Jesus went out from there and departed to the region of Tyre and Sidon. And behold, a woman of Canaan came from the region and cried out to him, saying, "Have mercy on me, O Lord, son of David. My daughter is severely demon-possessed." But he answered her not a word. And his disciples came and urged him, saying, "Send her away, for she cries out after us." But he answered and said, "I was not sent except to the lost sheep of the house of Israel." Then she came and worshipped him, saying, "Lord, help me." But he answered and said, "It is not good to take the children's bread and throw it to the little dogs." And she said, "Yes, Lord. Yet even the little dogs eat the crumbs which fall from the master's table." Then Jesus answered and said to her, "O woman, great is your faith. Let it be to you as you desire." And her daughter was healed from that very hour. Amen. Let us pray. Dear God, our Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word, Father God. We thank you for who you are, the creator of the universe, and for what you've done, providing for all of our needs according to your glorious riches, but most importantly, our need of a Savior through your Son, Jesus Christ, the Lamb of God who taketh away the sin of the world. Father God, we thank you for this time that we have to be able to look into your word and to consider the application to our lives, Father God, that we won't be hearers of your word only, but doers of your word as well. We ask now, Father God, a special blessing, Father God, by the power of your Holy Spirit, that I'll be able to effectively communicate and convey what it is you have laid on my heart to share. And in your Son, Jesus Christ's holy and precious name, we pray. Amen. You know, this passage displays the great faith of this Canaanite woman who knew Jesus was the Messiah, the Son of David, and knew that he had the authority and the power to heal her daughter who was demon-possessed. What makes this account so interesting and so compelling is the fact that a woman who was a foreigner from a nation considered to be great enemies of God and to God's people was able to first get Jesus' attention, and then after a series of objections, she was also able to motivate Jesus to act on her behalf due to her faith, which was demonstrated by her persistence. This Canaanite woman serves as a great example of faith for us to consider, to copy, and as well as to convey to others. Jesus said to her in verse 28, "Great is your faith, let it be to you as you desire." Jesus gave her what she wanted. Jesus gave her exactly what she had asked for. So today, what I want us all to consider is how was this Canaanite woman able to get what she wanted from God? And also, I want us to see how we can apply that to our lives for us to be able to get what we want as well. The first thing I want us to look at is in verses 21 and 22. Let's take another look at it again. Then Jesus went out from there and departed to the region of Tyre and Sidon. And behold, a woman of Canaan came from that region and cried out to him, saying, "Have mercy on me, O Lord, son of David. My daughter is severely demon-possessed." The first thing I want you to see is that getting what you want from God requires that your desire is aligned with God's desire or God's will. We know that the world is full of corruption, sickness, death, and disease, as well as conflict because of the fall of mankind into sin. Sin brought difficulty, disease, and death into our world. But God's desire wasn't for us to sin, even though he knew that we would sin before we committed the action of sinning. Sometimes as Christians make the mistake of associating certain things or actions that people take with God's will because he allows it to happen. But that's not accurate. Just because God allows a situation to happen doesn't necessarily mean that it's his will. You know, an example that someone once shared with me to make me better understand this concept, that not everything that God allows is a part of his will, is the example of when somebody goes into a school and shoots it up and kills innocent people. You know, sometimes Christians will often say, you know, this is a sad situation. We don't understand why this has happened. But, you know, this is God's will because God has allowed it. But that's not true. It is not God's will for somebody to go into a school and to kill people. Thou shalt not kill is a commandment. You know, the thing about this is that it is God's will that we all have free will. We could choose to reject God. We could choose to disobey God, or we could choose to obey his will and align our will with his will. So God's will is for all of us to have free will, but our free will isn't always God's will. We could choose to go against God's will. So then the question becomes, how can we know what God's will is so that we can desire to do his will? And we know that God's will is in his word. Paul writes in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verses 3 to 5, "For this is the will of God, your sanctification, that you should abstain from sexual immorality, that each of you should know how to possess his own vessel in sanctification and honor, not in passion of lust, like the Gentiles who do not know God." John writes in 1 John chapter 2, verse 1, "My little children, these things I write to you so that you may not sin." Paul writes in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 9, "Therefore we make it our aim, whether absent or present, to be well-pleasing to him." If we are not making it our goal to not sin or to please God by obeying him, then we are not aligned to God's will. When our desire is aligned with his desire, we can have confidence that we will receive his blessing on what we have asked for. John writes in 1 John chapter 15, verses 14 to 15, "Now this is the confidence that we have in him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. And if we know that he hears us, whatever we ask, we know that we have the petitions that we have asked of him." We can know what God's will is by reading his word, studying his word, and even memorizing his word on a daily basis. When we do this, we will be able to pray more intelligently by aligning our desires with God's desires. And in certain situations, when we are praying for something that we want but are not sure if it's what God wants, we should say, "Lord, if you are willing," or "God willing." So in order for us to get what we want from God, our desires must be aligned with his desire. The second thing I want you to see is also there in verse 22. And that is that getting what you want from God requires that you ask God for what you want. Paul writes in Philippians chapter 4, verses 6 and 7, "Be anxious for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God, and the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus." Jesus said in Matthew chapter 7, verses 7 to 11, "Ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and it will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, and he who seeks finds, and to him who knocks it'll be opened. Or what man is there among you whom if his son asks for bread will give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, will give him a serpent? If you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father who is in heaven give good things to those who ask him?" This seems like such a simple concept for us to grasp and to apply to our lives. But how often do we actually not seek out God's help or ask for God's help right away when we face a problem or a particular situation? How many times have we tried to do things by ourselves without consoling God? Or how many times have we sought out men to help us with our problems without seeking out God's help? In Romans, Paul writes in Romans chapter 8, verses 26 and 27, "Likewise, the Spirit also helps in our weaknesses, for we do not know what we should pray for as we ought. But the Spirit himself makes intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. Now he who searches the hearts knows what the mind of the Spirit is, because he makes intercession for the saints according to the will of God." The reality is that sometimes we are not able to discern what God's will is for a particular circumstance that we are facing. Sometimes we don't know what God's will is or what we should be asking God for. And in those situations, the Holy Spirit intercedes on our behalf. So in order for us to get what we want from God, we need to ask God to give us what we want, and what we want should be aligned with God's will. Let us look at verse 23. It says, "But he answered her not a word, and his disciples came and urged him, saying, Send her away, for she cries out after us." Jesus responds to the Canaanite woman's request to heal her demon-possessed daughter with silence. He just flat out ignores her. And this action could come across to some as being rude or insensitive. But why did Jesus ignore this woman in her request for help? According to some commentators, Jesus didn't answer the Canaanite woman when she first approached him, saying, "Lord, Son of David," because she wasn't Jewish and she had no claim positionally to the Messiah and no right to approach him on that basis. Remember that the Canaanites were evildoers occupying the promised land, whom God had ordered to be wiped out by the Israelites. All the men, women, and children, and even the animals were to be killed. The Israelites were ordered by God to leave no survivors, but we know that's not what happened. The Israelites were not fully obedient, and they left some of the Canaanites alive, and they became a noose around their necks or a snare to them. As it says in Exodus chapter 23, verse 33, "They shall not dwell in your land, lest they make you sin against me. For if you serve their gods, it will surely be a snare to you." The Israelites picked up their sinful habits and backslid into sin. We see this in their idolatry at the high places and their worship of false gods. Anyway, we fast forward and we arrive to this particular point in human history when a Canaanite woman, who was supposed to be non-existent at this point if the Israelites would have obeyed the Lord and utterly destroyed them, but was alive due to the Israelites' disobedience, she was able to approach Jesus with a request for mercy upon her and her daughter, who was demon-possessed. But Jesus responds to her with silence. But then something interesting occurs in verse 23. We see that the disciples come to Jesus and make a recommendation or a suggestion of what he should do with this woman. They tell him to send her away. Now, we don't know if this was a public or a private recommendation, meaning that we don't know if the woman heard the disciples when they told Jesus to send her away, but we know that's what they wanted him to do. But despite that, we know that the Canaanite woman faced a major obstacle in her way of getting what she wanted from God. And if you look at verse 24, we see that Jesus responds to the woman's request and the disciples' recommendation with a statement of separation. He said, "I was not sent except to the lost sheep of the house of Israel." Jesus had a specific target demographic for his current mission at the time. He was set apart to serve the Jews at this time in his ministry, and he didn't target the Gentiles specifically. His primary focus was on the Jewish people. He came to reform and renew the Israelites so that they could bless all the other nations of the world with the gospel. The majority of Jesus' ministry was to the Jewish people. This statement of separation from Jesus regarding the specific target demographic of his ministry, along with the suggestion from the disciples to send this Canaanite woman away, were two major roadblocks, obstacles, and objections that stood in the way of this Canaanite woman getting what she wanted from God. But she didn't let that stop her from asking God for what she wanted, knowing that what she wanted was not misaligned or contrary to God's will. Let's look at verse 25. Then she came and worshiped him, saying, "Lord, help me." Getting what you want from God requires your adoration of God. Getting what you want from God requires your adoration of God. The Canaanite woman worshiped God. She didn't let the Lord's initial response of silence or his initial answer of "you're not whom I was sent to help" stop her from worshiping God for who he is, the creator of the universe, and for what he could do, which is all things. She worshiped him for who he is, his person, and for what he could do, his power. In the same way, when we face obstacles and objections that stand in our way of getting what we want from God, as long as what we want from God is not misaligned with what God wants, and we ask him for what we want, then we shouldn't stop worshiping God. We should continue to recognize who he is and what he can do. The text says the woman worshiped him, saying, "Lord, help me." Notice the exclamation point. She cried out to the Lord for his help. Paul writes in Romans 10, "All who call on the name of the Lord shall be saved." According to verse 25 here, we see that a cry for God's help was an act of worship in him. She was giving honor to him. She was revering him. And she was respecting him. Her recognition of who he was, God, and what he could do, save her, was an act of worship. So in order for us to get what we want from God, we need to have an adoration for the Lord. We need to worship him. How much is he worth to us? Also in verse 25, there's another point I would like to make, and I'd like you to see, and that is that getting what you want from God requires you to aspire to receive what you want from God despite the obstacles and objections that you face. We need to aspire or hope in the Lord despite the obstacles and the objections that we face. The Canaanite woman didn't turn her back on God and stop pursuing him and his power to heal her daughter because he initially ignored her and then told her no. She didn't turn her back on God and stop pursuing him and his power to heal her daughter when his disciples suggested that he send her away. But she continued to adore God and ask God for his help despite being rejected by his disciples and told no by Jesus. She was persistent in what she wanted, and she was persistent in asking God to give her what she wanted. So in order for us to get what we want from God, we need to continue to adore God for who he is and what he can do. We need to aspire to receive what we want from God despite the obstacles and the objections we face, as long as our aspirations are aligned with God's agenda. Let's look at verse 26. It says, "But he answered and said, 'It is not good to take the children's bread and throw it to the little dogs.'" Jesus responds to the reverence that this Canaanite woman was showing him with a riddle about his stewardship. At first glance, people may find this verse a bit impolite to the Canaanite woman, calling her a little dog. But when we look more closely into that word, the Greek word that is used there for little dog is equivalent to a puppy, referring to a family or a house pet. This is not the same word used in 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 22, where Peter writes about a dog returning to his own vomit, which is a metaphor about someone turning away from God back to sin. The word used there is hound, but the word used here is a different word, which talks about a family pet or a puppy. So Jesus was not being disrespectful to this woman, but he was being upfront with her by distinguishing between her and his people, the Jews, whom he was sent to minister to. Let us look at verse 27. It says, "And she said, 'Yes, Lord, yet even the little dogs eat the crumbs which fall from the master's table.'" Getting what you want from God requires that you have an acumen to handle and respond to objections. Getting what you want from God requires you to have an acumen to be able to handle and respond to objections. We're not always going to get what we want right away. In those situations, we need to be able to trust God and obey God and continue to rely on God and pray to God if we know that what we are asking for is not misaligned with his will. The Canaanite woman responds to Jesus' stewardship riddle with a riddle of her own that cuts straight to the point that while Jesus' mission was directly or specifically to minister to the lost sheep of the house of Israel, the effects of his ministry to the Israelites would eventually spread out to all people who surrounded them. In Genesis chapter 12, verses 2 and 3, God says to Abraham, "I will make you a great nation. I will bless you and make your name great, and you shall be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and I will curse those who curses you. And in you all the families of the earth shall be blessed." The Canaanite woman quickly responded to Jesus' riddle with a riddle of her own, letting him know that while his ministry focused on the Jews, the blessings that he would bestow upon the Jews would spill over to the Gentiles, and us Gentiles would be blessed by the blessings of God bestowed upon the Jewish people. The Canaanite woman had the acumen to quickly respond to Jesus' objection with a fact that could not be denied. In verse 28, we see that upon hearing her response, Jesus finally responds with excitement and joy in the Canaanite woman's great faith in him by serving her and giving her exactly what she had asked for. After being ignored by Jesus, suggested to leave by Jesus' disciples, told no twice by Jesus, she finally gets a yes from Jesus. Her great faith had paid off. Her great faith was demonstrated by her passionate pursuit of God, despite the objections and the obstacles that she faced. She was persistent in her request to God, and her request was finally granted by God. So, in order for us to receive what it is that we want from God, we must make sure that our desire is first aligned with God's desire. We must ask God for what we want. We need to make our requests known to God. And we must adore God for who he is and what he can do. We need to worship God. And we must aspire to receive what we want from God despite the hurdles we face. We must have hope in God's deliverance. And we must have the acumen to handle and respond to the obstacles and the objections that we face. Amen? Amen. Let us just close in a word of prayer. Dear God, our Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word, Father God, which is so rich and inexhaustible. There's so much things we could glean from your word and apply to our lives, Father God. We thank you for your Holy Spirit, which teaches us all things through your word, Father God, that we are able to understand your word because of the Holy Spirit that resides in us, teaching us and helping us along the way. Help us, Father God, to be sensitive to your Holy Spirit inside of us, to be able to align our wills with your wills, to align our desire to your desire, Father God. Help us, Father God, if there's any desire in us that is not aligned with your will, help us to prune that out, Father God, and to be committed to doing what it is your will is. And help us to continue to stay in your word so that we can be more sensitive to your will, Father God. We ask, Lord, that we could apply these principles from this great example of faith from this Canaanite woman who believed in God and his ability to give her what she wanted. Help us, Lord God, with whatever struggles that we are facing in life, Father God, to make our requests be made known to you, Father God, and to continue to be persistent, Father God. There are a number of different accounts in Scripture where you talk about being persistent in prayer, being persistent in our pursuit of God, being persistent in God's deliverance. And we see that in all those cases when people were persistent, standing on your word and having great faith in what you could do and knowing that what they were asking for was not misaligned with your word, that you always came through in those situations, in those accounts that we see in Scripture. Father God, help us to be able to exemplify and exhibit that same great faith in our lives. And we ask that these things in your Son, Jesus Christ's holy and precious name. Amen.